So, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who seek to develop their spirit, mind, and body. I'm April May, and I have the pleasure of facilitating us through today. So I ask in advance for your kind patience, and we know that everything will go splendidly in spirit. So I'd like to share with you all this morning our mission and our foundation statement, and I'm going to ask you to repeat them with me. And how I'll know that you're saying them, since I can't hear you, is I'll see your lips moving, right? So the mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there's a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And our foundation statement, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. So today is Sunday, March the 21st, and we have the great pleasure today of having Lily Sandberg with us, but I would like to ask Kathleen Bailey if she would share the daily word with us.
Sure. The daily word is forgive. I extend forgiveness to myself. Throughout my life, I have forgiven those who have hurt and disappointed me. In turn, I have been grateful when others extended understanding and forgiveness to me. Even though I have to be forgiving with others, I may still find it difficult to forgive myself for mistakes I've made, disappointments I have caused, and commitments I have broken. Today, I open my heart, and with love and compassion, I forgive myself. I remind myself that everyone makes mistakes and deserves understanding and forgiving, even me. April, did you give me this for a reason?
No, Spirit did. That's how that works.
For sure. Okay, I remember how the prodigal son's father received him with joy when he came home. This joy is mine when I let go of self-condemnation and finally come home to myself. And from Luke 15, 20, but while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him.
Thank you, Kathleen. And Lily also did not know what the daily word was today when she chose her talk title. So definitely spirit working in all of us. Thank you. Okay, so I want to take just a minute. Some of you met Lily when she was on Zoom with us a few weeks ago. I had the great pleasure of meeting Lily when she became the communication specialist for the Unity Eastern region. And I've enjoyed thoroughly working with her for the, I guess it's going on a couple of years now. She's also a ministerial student, and she is speaking virtually now that we have a virtual Unity community all over the world with different congregations. And so it was such a blessing to ask her to share with us today. So we're looking forward to that. Before she gets started, we're going to have a song, but I also want to ask you guys if you have paper and pencil available to you anyplace close. During her talk and meditation today, she's going to ask you to jot a few things down. So if you don't have that, that would be great. Okay, so now what we're gonna do, I'm actually going to pause.
Thank you so much. So if you don't know who that is Michael Gott. He is the senior minister at the Unity of Houston. And I figured since we are doing virtual church, since I am in Albuquerque and you guys are in your homes and Michael is in Houston, I figured let's just bring him in. You know, that's the beauty of virtual church is you can have any speaker, any musician, and we all get to connect together in this different way. You know, it's one of the cooler things about ministry right now. And so I am Lily Sandberg. I am born and raised in Unity. And this is just a joy for me to be able to be here. When April had kind of suggested that I could come and be your guest speaker, I was very excited because she has said many times in our working relationship that her church community, you guys are some thinkers. You guys are some metaphysical. I want to learn. I want to be in church. I want to take this spirituality into the world to be able to change the world. And that is what excites me in ministry is I know that there is a time and a place for us to be filled up by the message of Unity, to be able to just be comforted and consoled in the comfort and love of God. And there is a time when we can see what we can do in this world being fully human and fully divine. And so that is just so exciting to get to join your community. I spoke with Reverend Butch and he is obviously a wonderful minister for you all because the way he talks about you has so much love in the way that you think. And so I'm excited that we get to do that together today. And so my talk title is the 7x70, the forgiveness challenge. So I'm going to be fully transparent. I'm working on forgiveness. I'm not very good at it. Even with being born and raised in Unity, my nearly 25 years on this planet, I'm not very good at forgiveness. And so the beauty of a talk when it comes, and when Reverend Butch said, wherever your heart is, trust that, go there. When Spirit came to me and said, you know, we're talking about forgiveness that Sunday, I wanted to kick and scream. There is no way. I don't want to talk about something that's not complete with me, that's something undone, that's something vulnerable and kind of scary. That's not what I want to talk about. And then you realize you can kick and scream as much as you want, but there's going to be moments that God will just say, nope, this is yours. Nope, this is yours. This is yours to do right now. And so that was this talk for me, that this is ours to do right now. And this is ours to do together, a little piece of me. By family, one of our mottos is everything is better when we do it together. Everything is better when we get to do it together. Everything is less scary when we do it together. And I think forgiveness is one of those things that when we start to do together, it is far easier. And that is the work we get to do. So one of the pieces I wanted to bring to you today is in my ministerial education, I was just in a class where we got to look at some of the lesser known Unity authors from our history. That yes, we are co-founded by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, and we have writings from both of them. We have writings from some of their sons, but we also have many other voices that informed this movement as to who we are today. And some of those voices we don't get to hear much from. And so one of the voices I wanted to bring to you today that has kind of struck this chord on forgiveness with me, her name is Imelda Octavia Shanklin. You may know her. Her book, What Are You, is probably her most well-known. But what I learned about Imelda is, number one, you have to be ready to like sit and read like three times to fully get the magnitude of what she was speaking, because she was so clear in her truth and what that meant. But that isn't always clear to me. And that isn't always clear to the other people that read her, that you kind of need to know that you're going to take just a snippet and you're going to sit and you're going to reread and you're going to come back. But she's like one of those toothsome truth students. And so in some of her selected writings on forgiveness, she tells us this: genuine forgiveness is not a casual act, not superficial work. The word means a cleansing or a blotting out of transgression. Forgiveness is wrought in the very texture of our soul. It is a deep, searching thoroughness of reclaiming what is ours in our soul and what is ours in the soul of the divine activity of God. Forgiveness is a radical act that only the bravest of us truly engage in to do fully and do completely. That is not always what I've thought about forgiveness. Forgiveness has sometimes felt like easy work. Forgiveness has felt like I'll be the doormat of your bad behavior. Forgiveness has sometimes felt like validating and making that bad behavior okay for myself and for others. Forgiveness is something only the bravest of us do. It is not superficial work. It is not a casual act. When we see what forgiveness can do for our lives, it's kind of scary because it's really easy to hold on to those resentments, to say, I'm right, they were wrong. It's so easy. And man, I do it every day. I do it like 100 times a day, that it's so much easier to be in the right because it feels better. And then we don't have to look at that piece of us, of what part of this was mine? What part of this is my responsibility? And how do I take responsibility for that? And so that's some of the stuff we're going to jump into today. And I think that there is a helpfulness when it comes to forgiveness, because there's so many aspects of forgiveness that are in the world. And so one of the things that I turn to most, if you don't know, there is a wonderful magazine that's produced by UC Berkeley, and it's called the Greater Good Magazine. And so it talks all about the greater good in this world, and they look at it through a scientific lens. And so they say that forgiveness is the act of being able to release resentment, release grief, release pain, so that we can live a more freer world. Forgiveness is not necessarily connected to another person. Sometimes it can be just for ourselves. We do not need the forgiveness of another to be able to move on. We do not need another person to be forgiven for us to move on. We do not need that person to even know that they wronged us in order to forgive someone. They do not even need to know they did anything wrong for us to forgive them. That is a cool statement. And so when we think about those words in defining forgiveness as such, to be able to pull on the concept of forgiveness from Imelda Shanklin, we know that when we forgive, we are called at different levels to forgive. When someone says, I'm sorry, oh, I forgive you. Sometimes, absolutely, you totally forgiven them and you are able to move on and not have any connection to that past interaction. Sometimes that's exactly all it is. But how many times have we had an I'm sorry, I forgive you, but there's still that piece of us that is festering, wanting to hear, I'm sorry I did this to you, to take further ownership. I'm sorry my words came out this way. This is what I'm going through. Like we're waiting on another person to have their aha moment in what they did wrong in order for us to fully forgive. Sometimes we're waiting on it. How many of you have? And I'm not going to make you raise your hands because we don't need to do that. You know, we know. But there's been so many times in my life that I have said that I've forgiven and I haven't. I haven't fully forgiven. I haven't completely forgiven. I haven't fully forgiven at the depth that this won't continue. Because what happens when we don't fully forgive is a cycle continues. The cycle either with that person or the cycle in general. That cycle of being able to say, oh, I forgive you, but I'm going to continue to hold on to this. I forgive you and nothing is healing. I forgive you, but now the cup inside of me to hold all of that anger is just getting real full. And what happens when that continues to happen is we get weighed down. We continue to sink a little lower, holding on to that resentment, holding on to those burdens, holding on to that lack of forgiveness when we forgive at a surface level. And one thing I want to be very clear about, because in my day job, I work in mental health. I'm on the admin side, and so I get to talk to people who are just starting their healing journey. So when I answer that phone, they may just be calling for the logistics of getting an appointment, or it may be so painfully at the surface that all of their stuff just comes out. And so when we're talking about forgiveness, the one thing I will be very clear about is we have to be ready to forgive. When trauma and pain are so new to us, it is not the time to forgive. When you are still so in the pits of what happened to you or things you are not able to forgive yourself for, it is too soon to forgive. So when we talk about forgiveness, this is an act of patience. This is an act of resilience. This is an act of bravery. And if it is too tender to jump into, that is not the forgiveness work you are going to be able to do today, or in the next week, or in the next month. One of the therapists I work with, when I was talking to her about being able to give this talk, she told me something and I've held on to. And she said, I know when someone is ready to go through really deep forgiveness work, when they can tell me their story without getting stuck in their story. When they can say, as a matter of fact, this is what happened to me, and this is how I felt, without getting stuck in that emotion, without getting stuck in that story, without getting stuck in the blame, that is the moment we get to take a step into forgiveness. So I'm going to be asking you, we're going to do later on in this time together, we're going to do an activity about forgiveness. And so if it is tender for you, we are not jumping there. We are just going to call that place holy, knowing that it is being healed right now. And we are going to talk about something else. And the place that we start is with ourselves. That we cannot jump into forgiving others until we are ready to forgive ourselves. And so many times the spiritual example that we give with the work we have to do in this world as truth students is one of the airplane mask. We must put it on for us first before helping our neighbor. But it doesn't do us any good if our neighbor is breathing easily and we are struggling to breathe. That is not how we create the kingdom of God here. That we have to be willing to take care of ourselves, even if it's scary, even if it's hard, especially if it's scary and hard, to do this work of our forgiveness first, before we can turning that to those around us who may also need that forgiveness. Because when it comes to forgiveness, when we are not able to forgive a piece of ourselves, I know a few things to be true. I believe, and Unity teaches, that the world is a mirror for us. That in relationship, those people that tick us off more than anything probably have the most to teach us. It is a bummer that that is the truth, because man, spirituality would be so much easier if people were less annoying sometimes. But man, those people who just rub you the wrong way, those are our teachers. That's our opportunity to say, why am I so triggered by this person? What is the piece in them that is showing me the unhealed piece in me? What is it about the way that this person shows up in the world that makes me feel invalidated in the world? That makes me feel combative in the world? That makes me feel not enough in this world? That the behavior of others is part of our journey. We don't have any responsibility for it. We don't have any way to change it. We just have to take it at face value and turn within when that's a piece of us that we need to look at. And so when someone hurts us, it is because they are hurting. Hurt people hurt people. And we know that. And oftentimes, whether we want to admit it or not, sometimes we're the hurt people who are hurting people. And that comes from so many places. For me, working in mental health, I have to be diligent about taking care of myself very deeply. Just to give you guys a little framework, there is something called secondary trauma. And so initial trauma is something that happens to you that replays in your life that hurts you so deeply that it continues to be a part of your journey until it is healed. And so secondary trauma is when I pick up that phone and I hear about the worst thing that ever has happened to someone. That is not my pain, but that is the pain that is coming at me. And being in this world, being in unity, I have a good feeling that you guys are more empathetic than most. And so when you hear about something so hard for someone, you feel that pain too. And that is a beautiful thing. And it can be a very harmful thing if we are not taking care of ourselves. So let me give you an example. Last week, I picked up the phone. You know, hi, this is Lily. How can I help you? And from the other end of the phone, I heard a man who said, CYFD, who is our Children's Youth and Family Services Department, is telling me I need to go to therapy so I can get my kids back. Okay, sir. Sounds good. Let me get your information, get a little bit more information about you, and we'll get you in the system and get you an appointment. And so he's telling me all of this, and I happen to mention, and what are your kids' names? And he tells me his kids' names. And I instantly realize, I know about this dad. I know about this dad leaving his kids. I know about this dad hurting his kids. I know about this dad not being able to show up for his kids when he's had other opportunities. And I know the day before, that therapist had been so upset that once again, this dad had another opportunity to be in the lives of these kids. And so what happened for me in that moment of realization was all of that stuff that I had known about this person beforehand. I knew I had to make a choice. Was that going to be how I saw this person? Or was this how I was going to have the opportunity to see this person as someone who was calling, trying to have a relationship with their kids? And that was the moment that both of those things could have been true. I would venture to guess, because there are documents saying this dad didn't show up in the way he needed to for these boys. And on the phone, I could hear in his voice that he wanted to make this right. He wanted to try. And in that moment, I could do a good job of saying, all right, this is what I know about this person, and I'm going to do my very best not to have this impact this relationship. So many times before, I have instantly gone into judgment. How dare you call again? How dare you try to be in the lives when you've done so much damage? And then I realize that's all of my stuff that's coming up. That's all of my perceived judgment of right and wrong. That's all of my stuff that needs to be healed. And so the beautiful thing about the work I get to do is I get to know that on one side, they are healing, and on the other side, they are healing. And the hope is one day they can heal enough together to be a family again. But it takes a lot of forgiveness. And one of the things that I get to see in my work is a process called the Protection Clarification Protocol. And so when there is an adult that did not show up for their kids in a safe and loving way, what is asked of them is to take this step and say yes to the hard work of writing out a letter of apology, taking ownership of their piece, that I did not protect you, that I did not show up for you. And that process of writing a letter if it is safe and healthy for the kiddos, is presented to them. And the kid gets to decide if that forgiveness is warranted. How many times in our life did maybe we need to take the time to do something like that, to say, these are the ways I didn't show up. These are the ways I let you down. These are the ways I did not love you the way you needed to be loved. It's a beautiful process. And it is really hard to be able to take that step in taking ownership, because ownership is the first step in being able to forgive. Being able to know what our piece in this is. What is the piece of me to be healed? What is the piece of me that I need to forgive first before I can extend? And that taking ownership takes some time. Because if we don't, the weight of this just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And what's so interesting about the way that the world works is when we're looking for answers outside of ourselves, a lot of times they point us back to ourselves. One of the authors and spiritual folks that I turn to the most, her name is Pastor Nadia Boltz Weber. She is a ELCA Lutheran pastor. And if you looked at her, you probably wouldn't think she's a pastor, which is why I like her even more. She is a tall, slender, shaved head tattooed lady that just speaks so clearly about the words of God and the way that God works in the world. And so I found a video of hers when I was doing some research for this talk. And I can't give you the full title because it's not Unity appropriate, but it's about forgiving certain people that we may call a-holes. And this is what she says. When someone does us harm or we harm others, we are energetically connected as if by a chain. If we are not careful and continue to live in that resentment, we may begin to look more like those that did us harm. What if instead, forgiveness could be the bolt cutters that snap the chain that links us? Forgiveness is saying, what you did was so not okay that I refuse to be connected to it in any way. Forgiveness is about being a freedom fighter. And free people are dangerous people. Free people laugh more than others. Free people see beauty where others do not. Free people do not get easily offended. Free people are unafraid to speak truth in the face of non-truth. Free people are not trained to hold on to resentment. That is worth fighting for. And that we have to begin with in ourselves. We have to begin within ourselves. And what I have learned from your community is you guys are well-versed in the Bible, which is one of my weaker points in spirituality. You would have been hard-pressed to find a Bible some days in my Unity church. I will be the first to admit that. I've had to learn the Bible just like any of your kids in Sunday school. And I know that there is so much wisdom in this book. There is so much wisdom when we can say, I'm looking for a partner on this journey, and Jesus is there. And so what I have loved and what's the guiding scripture of the 7x70 forgiveness challenge in my talk title is a scripture that is just two lines long from Matthew, verse 18. And this is verse 18, 21 through 22. And it reads, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, if another member of the church sinned against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. the beautiful thing about our practice is we know that we can take these words at different levels of understanding. So when we look at these words, here is what I see. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? I venture to guess that Peter thought seven times was plenty. That seven times may have even been a lot. That Peter's coming to Jesus saying, I could do that seven times. Look how great of a spiritual person I am. And Jesus, in all of his wisdom, meeting Peter right where he was, says, not seven times. Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. That there is so much power in that. That we know that when we are on this spiritual journey with the Bible, that there are hidden meetings. And so that is part of the metaphysical work we get to do. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a metaphysical Bible dictionary. This thing is thick. This thing has wisdom to spare. And so when you take a Bible verse, looking at the metaphysical meaning is that which is between the lines. And so when I look up in my big old book, the metaphysical meaning of seven, like Peter said seven times, and Jesus said, no, 77 times, it reads that seven is the number representing fullness in the world. Seven always refers to the divine law of perfection for the divine and natural man. And it says, specifically citing this verse, that 77 times implies unlimited forgiveness. And so when we look at it with that lens of saying seven being the perfect version, the law of perfection of the divine and natural man, we know that Jesus was the perfect example of being fully human and fully divine, just as we are. We know that that is part of our second unity principle, that we are in this world with inherent goodness, being fully human and fully divine. And so when we screw up, we are fully human. And when we get to forgive someone at depth completely, we are fully divine. And that is the union that we are creating in this forgiveness work. And just to add another layer, when we look at this, numbers always hold significance, and the Bible is always in communication with another. And so when Jesus gave the example of 70 by seven, he wasn't actually saying forgive 490 times. I just decided to do that math for us, that seven by 70 is 490. Jesus was actually alluding to the 490 years that from we see in Daniel 9, that the Jews had spent in captivity and slavery. 490 years. They were taken from their homeland and their families were torn apart and they were enslaved, along with all of the other atrocities that happened during that time. And so Jesus was calling upon this scripture, saying, forgive seven by 70, knowing that for 490 years that we see in Daniel 9, the ask was still the same. That even in the worst of times, we are called to forgive. Even after 490 years of the toughest stuff that the people who created us, the people of the Bible, were put through, we are called to forgive. Even after the enemies had hurt them and they were wrong for almost five centuries, Jesus was teaching people to forgive. 490 years. And so how easy would it be for us if we can do that, to forgive each and every day? And Jesus was not suggesting that after someone wrongs you and you're called to forgive 490 times, that 491st time, you're off the hook. That we see in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, that 77, that we are called 7 by 70, is perfect, unlimited perfection, unlimited. That means that every single day, in every single moment, if there is an opportunity to forgive, we are called to do that. that I would be shocked if I had set 490 times per day that I needed to forgive. And yet, I bet it's pretty close. Because when I screw up something, say I, oh man, this past week I was driving to work, drinking my black tea. I spilled all over my white shirt, all over my white shirt. And you know where I went? Oh my gosh, I'm so clumsy. Oh my gosh, I'm so bad at this. Oh my gosh, I'm going to look like a wreck and no one's going to take me seriously. Those little drops of tea on my white shirt just triggered all of that stuff that came up in me. And that was a moment that I could say, wow, I'm fully human in this moment. Wow, I bet you every person I am going to see in the office today has also spilled something on a white shirt. That I'm going to show up and it took everything in me. Let me tell you, it took everything in me to say those things and not turn my car around and be late to work because I was going to change. That is a moment of forgiveness, whether we see it or not, because sometimes we reserve forgiveness to the big things. Forgiveness, where the work we get to do is in the small things. Because when we are good at forgiving in the moments of things that we see as small, we will continue to grow that spiritual muscle. So when we are faced with a big thing, we have done our work to be better faced with that big thing. And so when we look at that scripture and we take it with a metaphysical meaning, the work that is taught in my seminary school and potentially in your Bible study is being able to take it from face value to the metaphysical meaning to the maieutic meaning. And so the work of maieutics is being able to take a story and say, how is this my story? How is this scripture related to me? And how is this scripture related to the world? That being able to extrapolate, knowing that the Bible is part of our evolution of consciousness, that we can see that through these words, knowing that we are part of that. And so how many times have I been Peter saying, God, look at me. Look at the forgiveness I'm doing. Look at how good I am at this work. And God saying, oh, there's more to do. There is more to do. There is deeper forgiveness to do. There is more complete forgiveness to do. How many times have we been Peter being able to say, what do I do? How should I forgive? Not even knowing where to start. Where do I start? And so the beauty of unity is this is practical Christianity. This is the work we get to do in the world. And one of the tools that we get to do, one of the tools we get to use is be able to use our words in this world. That the 12 power of power, the location is right here in our throat. Because the power of our words written and spoken has energy behind them. That we know when we use affirmations, that is us being a co-creator with God, creating our reality through our words. And so when I've been sitting with this, one of the ministers that I look up to, Reverend Alice Anderson, she used to be in Miami. She was showing her forgiveness practice that for 7 days, 70 times a day, she was writing out an affirmation. So I figured, let's try that. Let's see how many times I can write, I forgive myself fully and completely for 7 days, 70 times. Let me tell you, some stuff came up. I forgive myself fully and completely. That has power. I'm not saying I forgive myself in this circumstance for this thing. I forgive others in this circumstance and this thing. I forgive myself fully and completely. So that's what I'm going to do with you. That is the challenge of today that we are going to get to do together. And so April had asked and she had put in the chat. And so this is your opportunity if you didn't get those messages to get a piece of paper, maybe a few, and a writing utensil. Because what we are going to do in our time of meditation a day in this quiet is begin this journey. And this is a challenge. You can take it or you can leave it. That together, we are going to write. This is going to be a moving meditation in the quiet, in your space, to be able to write as many times as you can in this meditation, because I don't write that fast. And 70 times is a lot. I forgive myself fully and completely. And so before we start that, I invite us to all take a few deep breaths. So I invite you just get comfortable in your space, knowing that breath and spirit are one, knowing that as we breathe in, we are breathing in spirit. And as we breathe out, we are breathing out spirit. Because in this world, in this full expression of life, there is nothing but spirit. So for the next few minutes, if you so choose, I invite you to write, I forgive myself fully and completely. As many times as you can, noticing what happens in your body, noticing what happens in your thought process as you do that. And if that is not your jam and that is not feeling right to you, I invite you to just sit there and breathe, taking this time in the quiet for you. So I'll check back in a few. I forgive myself fully and completely. And I invite you to find a space where you can stop. And I invite us to breathe again. Sometimes we go into those activities and we forget that. So I invite you to just take a centering breath wherever you are, however that feels right in your body. And so I will leave you with a quote that I have loved so dearly through this work from Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And he says, "To forgive is not to be altruistic. It is the best form of self-interest. It is also a process that does not exclude hatred and anger. Those emotions are all part of being human. You should never hate yourself for hating others who do terrible things. The depth of your love is also shown by the extent of your anger. However, when I talk about forgiveness, I mean the belief that you can come out the other side a better person. A better person than one that is being consumed by anger and hatred. Remaining in that state locks you in a state of victimhood, making you almost dependent on the perpetrator. If you can find it in yourself to forgive, then you are no longer chained to them. You can move on, and you can even help them become a better person too. Because when we start with us, and when we forgive us, and then we extend that forgiveness to someone else, that is how we can change the world. And so this is my challenge. This is, you know, some may say homework. If you so choose, for the next 7 days, I invite you to stick with this process. For the next 7 days, 70 times a day, write out, "I forgive myself fully and completely." See what comes up. See how that feels. See what may change. And I'll check back in to see what happens. It is a challenge. You can choose to accept it and you can choose to not. But knowing, regardless of if you choose to accept it or if you choose to not, the world is beautiful and tough, and so are you. And I am so grateful to have spent this time with you today. Thank you very much.